I'm Ed the Sock, and this is Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on patreon.com/FUNetworkTV and through PayPal at funetworktv@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Remember, the only road we can control is the section immediately ahead of us.
I'm a chameleon. You come and go. Oh, hey, wait, sorry. Before I started recording this, I had the 80s channel on the satellite radio here in the car, and Culture Club was playing. And it was playing that Karma Chameleon song, which I hated. When it came out, I despised it. I pretty much despised everything Culture Club came out with. Was not a fan at all. But you know, it's weird. As you get older and music sort of in your rearview mirror, and you hear it again, it's almost like seeing like an old friend, or not an old friend, somebody maybe you went to school with years ago, who you really weren't friends with, but now years later, water under the bridge, you have something in common with them. There's a common experience that you both shared, and so that sort of overrides how close you may or may not have been back in school. And there's a sort of sense of shared camaraderie and shared experience that other people can't share if they didn't go to the same school with you at the same time. So it's sometimes like that with music with me. I'll hear a song that I didn't like back then, but it's like, hey, you were around back then, I was around back then, and there's this sense of, I don't know, there's this weird sense of camaraderie. So I wind up liking the music now that I didn't like then, if that makes any sense. It actually doesn't have to make sense. Because why does everything have to make sense? Not everything has to make sense. You know what else doesn't make sense? By the way, I have satellite radio because it came with the car, so I don't have to listen to the dross that is terrestrial radio. I don't even know why terrestrial radio still exists. Who the hell even listens to it anymore? Like, I mean, do they even still play it in offices? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, the AM band has mostly switched to all news, or, you know, call-in radio shows where you've got a bunch of douchebags talking to other douchebags and picking, you know, so douchebags pick up the phone and they talk douche to each other. It's mostly fairly conservative right-wing nonsense. And it's like here's the thing. If you have a show on terrestrial radio, good for you. You're milking a corpse, you know, good for you. But if you call in to terrestrial radio, you, sir, are a loser. And I say sir because you almost never hear women calling in to talk radio. At least back in the day when I used to listen to it, which wasn't that long ago, I would sample it just to see, hey, I wonder what's going on that channel. Like, oh, shit, that's what's going on there. So another thing that doesn't make sense, oh, by the way, terrestrial radio, if you're still, like, into terrestrial radio, that's like having an abacus instead of a modern cash register. It's like going up to somebody comes up to you at the cash and you calculate how much they owe using an abacus. That's what, in this world of satellite radio and curated music and so on, the notion of relying on terrestrial radio, it's like that. It's like having an abacus instead of even a calculator. Anyway, thing doesn't make sense is why I can get satellite receiving like in my car. I can get my choice of music from different eras and different genres in my car. My phone can communicate with a satellite and tell me how to drive where I'm going. Tell me how to get there. I've got a fucking satellite that tells me how to get where I'm going to my phone. Okay, that's the technology we're at now. You know, we're far away from Sputnik. Cars have underneath the hood of a car, it's practically a computer. It is a computer. It may as well be Kit from Knight Rider. Kit, not Car, because Car was dumb. I watched that episode the other day. I was rewatching my Knight Rider DVDs, and I saw the episode with Car, K-A-R-R, which was Knight Automated Roving Robot, and Car was dumb. I thought it was hilarious that Kit had, like, an older brother who was stupid. Anyway, it used to be people would go to Canadian Tire and buy, like, parts from the automotive section and go out in the drive, on the parking lot and fix their cars out in the parking lot. I don't know if you're old enough to remember seeing that, but I used to see it and sort of marvel at it. But nowadays, there's no doing that because everything under the hood, it's all computerized. You need computer equipment to talk to the computer shit underneath the hood of the car. All this stuff, all this technology, all these improvements in the ergonomics of cars, in how to resist denting and things like that, they still haven't figured out how to put a fucking garbage can in a car. You still gotta take a regular plastic bag and sling it over the gear shift or your automatic shift, whatever, and throw stuff in there and then take the bag out. Why, after all these years and all these upgrades in technology, why is there no fucking garbage can in a car? I mean, everybody needs one. If you're like me, I eat in my car, I do all kinds, I've got like some Starburst wrappers around here now. You put them in places, like in the little thing in the door, where that by the door handle, that little depression, which I think used to be for cigarette butts. I don't know what the fuck it was for. Anyway, how come they can't figure out a way to put a garbage can in a car? Everybody fucking needs it. Honestly, is this something that's too hard for the geniuses, who manufacture cars? I mean, car designs have gotten, pretty much all cars look alike now. I don't know if you noticed, the other day I was sitting at an intersection watching the cars go by, and there's either the jelly bean shape car, or there's the SUV shaped car. But otherwise, there's only slight variations between cars. Like SUVs all look alike, vans all look alike, cars all look alike. They all look alike with small changes. It's kind of like, when you see like a family and you see the kids and they all look alike, but they have slight differences, but you can tell that they're all related. Cars all fucking look the same nowadays. So, we're not worrying about car design, obviously. How about worrying about on the inside and putting in a garbage can? Doesn't have to be large. You don't have to like stuff French bread in it or something like that. Where the hell did I get that idea? French bread. Where the hell did that pop into my head? Anyway, it's not like it needs to be large. Just a space that we can put in little things like Starburst wrappers and shit like that. Just a little, a little something. Does that make any fucking sense or not? Speaking of things that don't make sense, I still can't understand why people bother to get upset over changing Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben and maybe Mrs. Butterworth. Though I didn't know Mrs. Butterworth was supposed to be black. I thought she was an old white lady who just happened to be filled with maple syrup. Which I never liked Mrs. Butterworth when I was young because I felt bad. Because every time you use Mrs. Butterworth, you're draining her lifeblood. Like, as it slowly goes down further and further. Because when it gets to the bottom, you're throwing her out. So every time you use Mrs. Butterworth, you're taking some of her life energy and slowly watching it dissipate until this poor old bespectacled lady winds up in the garbage. It struck me as being somewhat cruel. But why would anybody get upset because they're changing Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben? I mean, come on. Is there anyone out there who didn't think that they were both based on stereotypes? And the cream of wheat guy, Rastus? Is there anybody who didn't believe they were based in, like, slave stereotypes? And do we really need that? First of all, I don't know why in this day and age you need pancake mix. Do you not know how to put together flour and shit like that to make a pancake? Okay, granted, I don't, but I don't cook. I imagine if I knew how to cook, I could make some fucking pancakes from scratch. But why would anybody get upset? They're talking about this being a sign of, getting rid of some of our heritage. It ain't your heritage. It's a corporate symbol. Corporate symbols aren't heritage. I mean, shit, people don't freak out when they change mascots on cereals. I mean, granted, we've had Tony the Tiger for years, and that whatever the fuck he is, bird type thing that goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and the Trix rabbit, but Cookie Jar, or Cookie Crisp, changed its character. It used to be Cookie Jarvis, remember him? And now I don't know what the hell it is. And speaking of stereotypes, why has no one complained about the Lucky Charms guy? I mean, he's something of an Irish stereotype. Because, he seems to me like he's usually a bit drunk. Because why else would somebody care that much about fucking yellow moons, orange stars, and green clover? you know, he seems like there's something not right with the guy. And that whole Irish leprechaun thing, isn't that a little bit of a stereotype? The weird thing is, though, you can have stereotypes of white people and nobody raises an issue, I guess because the assumption is white people, no matter what your ethnicity or what group you belong to, if you fall under the Caucasian category, people can make fun of you and it's okay. And they don't seem to get upset. Like, you know, the stereotype of the fighting Irish, I mean, it shows the Irish are somewhat volatile and prone to fits of violence. And then there's the drunk Irishman stereotype. And that, you know, that whole thing on St. Patrick's Day, it's based around the idea that the Irish are drunks. It has very little to do with St. Patrick, who chased the snakes out of Ireland. But actually what he did in historical terms is he brought Christianity to Ireland. But it's okay to make fun of white people. And I don't get that. You know, and a stereotype of an identifiable group is still a stereotype of an identifiable group. And there's nothing particularly good about the stereotype on Irish people. And then also, you know, Southern people. If you want to show a character is dumb, they always show Southerners as being stupid because of the way they talk. You know, you see a character with a Southern accent, 9 times out of 10, the character's an idiot. But that's okay. As if everybody in the South is stupid because of how they talk. I don't understand it. You know, you can say that no white Southerner has ever been denied a job or kept down or faced, police harassment because they're a white Southerner. And that's probably true, certainly not in any great measure. But it's still, for getting rid of offensive stereotypes, shouldn't we work to get rid of all of them? Granted, we have to triage, and the stereotypes about black people, people of color, and indigenous people, those are far more important to get rid of, because those actually have significant, concrete, real-world problems. But we should honestly also be examining all stereotypes. I mean, stereotypes of Indian people on TV shows are, they're usually, if they're male, they're usually sexually, they're not virile. Same way they showed Chinese people, you know, especially in sitcoms and stuff, and Indian people. They're not, if they're men, they're like gamma males, not even beta males. They're sexually frustrated or sexually inexperienced, smart, but kind of anal about things. I mean, that's the way they showed Jews for so many years. Now they just don't put Jews on shows, except for Batwoman, because the character Batwoman in the comics is both a lesbian and Jewish, though on the TV show, she's far more lesbian than Jewish. It's just, if we're going to start getting rid of stereotypes, let's get rid of them. But let's not be assholes about it. Let's just say, okay, you know what? We used to think this was funny. We're a little older now as a society, a little more mature. We recognize the damage that some of this can do, because a lot of jokes were made even 10, 15, 20 years ago. Even I made jokes years ago that I didn't know they were hurting anybody, because there really wasn't a societal realization that jokes which were not intended to be to demonize or intended to make somebody seem less than or seem like the other, in fact, did all of that. And as we learned, as we became sensitized as a society, some types of humor or some types of jokes just sort of went by the wayside. Sadly, that doesn't include knock-knock jokes, but I suppose they'll always exist. But what was the other thing I wanted to talk about today? Well, social media is a shit fire. It really is. When people basically, posts on Twitter are the equivalent most of the time of somebody who lights a bag of dog shit on fire on your doorstep then rings the bell. The posts are, I mean, what did white people do before Twitter to show people what great allies they are of people of color? I mean, if they didn't have Twitter around just so they can show everybody how outraged they are on behalf of other people, what did they do before to assuage their sense of guilt? Because let's face it, they're doing it out of guilt, not because they are non-racist, for example, and they've never been racist. It's because you know damn well that they know that they engaged in behavior in the past, which today would be considered racist, and it may not have been that long ago, and they know that inside them, they still have racist ideas, so they scream and yell at everybody else about how racist everybody else is, so hopefully people won't look at them. And also, they tend to usurp the voices of people of color who sometimes say, hey, this isn't that big a deal, Trudeau blackface thing. People of color were like, fuck, we deal with shit every day today that is of issue. Can we focus on that? Not what somebody did 20 years ago. And somebody who's changed their ways and has been good for people of color since then. You know, the white people are like, I can't forgive him for what he did years ago. And I talked to white people during the election and on election day for 22 minutes on CBC. Good people there at that show, by the way. And it was all white people who refused to forgive. People of color were like waving their arms, like, oh, fuck this shit. We'd rather deal with the real racism we deal with every day from people who do act on racist thoughts rather than dealing with something Trudeau did all those years ago. And in the meantime, he's been really good and supportive of people of color as prime minister. White people. I don't know. They're doing their best to almost claim, I'm not white. I'm white, but it's not my fault. Nobody, like I said in a previous show, you don't have to take responsibility and feel guilt for what previous generations have done. But you do have to take responsibility today to do something to just be better. And being better doesn't just mean getting on Facebook, getting on Twitter, and talking about how evil white people are. Because that's stereotyping in and of itself. I think most people today are generally, in Canada, the States is a different story. But in Canada, people are very much accepting. Canadians have always been very much live and let live. And, you know, we try to get better all the time. I mean, anyone who thinks that Canada and the U.S. are alike on issues of race has never really been to the U.S. and never really known any Americans. Because the accepted non-racist position in the States, people saying, well, I don't hate, for example, black people for being black, and you know they are the way they are. It's not their fault. I don't hate them for it. And their assumptions of the way black people are is completely fucking racist. In the States, people who aren't racist are racist. It's just there's an undercurrent. There's a foundation there of racism that they don't even recognize as racist. Canada, not really that way. We have racists here. You're never going to get rid of racists altogether. But what you can do is make it so that racists have to keep their fucking mouths shut in public and not spout off about shit, and make it so that if they act in a racist manner that's provable, they're going to face consequences. You can't change what's in somebody's head. Well, Lord knows, there's so many stupid people out there, you can't make them unstupid. And by stupid, I don't mean somebody who's got limited IQ or something like that. I'm talking about people who could do better, can think better, and choose not to. That, to me, is stupidity. The difference between that and ignorance is that ignorance is they're not aware that they're not aware. Dunning-Kruger, look that up. But this whole kerfuffle that's happening now, finally, with Facebook primarily, with all the big companies dropping their ads from Facebook, Unilever, Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Lululemon, all these, because Facebook has just ardently refused to do anything to police hate speech, because let's face it, hate speech has been very, very good to Facebook. It, you know, it gets them a lot of traffic, and traffic is what gets measured on Facebook for advertisers. But and so Zuckerberg, that fucking, I swear to God, that guy's some kind of robot. Like, you open him up in the back, and there's some, like, alien spore creature that's controlling this robot. Because you see the guy, and I don't even think the guy fucking blinks. There's something not right with that dude. But Zuckerberg's wrapped himself in the flag and the First Amendment in the U.S. about protecting speech, and it's not their job to police hate speech. Fuck, it isn't. You've got, the reason companies have terms of service, it's because it's implied that they have rules. that you can't break. That takes away any protection of the First Amendment. First Amendment in the U.S. just means that the government can't stop you, but it doesn't mean that when you sign up to an individual platform that you have free rein. You don't. What's the point of having terms of service, Mr. Facebook? Because terms of service implies you have rules that people have. Otherwise, what's to sign up for? What's a term of service? Nothing. So terms of service means you have rules. So if you have rules, why don't you fucking enforce them? Why bother with the terms of service if you're not going to enforce any rules? And the truth is that for years, Facebook, Twitter, all these other places have claimed that they're not a publisher. They shouldn't be held accountable for what's on their service the same way newspapers are held accountable, television stations are held accountable, book publishers are held accountable. You know, they say, well, we're not accountable for what people do. The fact is, that's bullshit. Social media platforms are publishers, and they, just because they don't have the same control over what gets published as newspapers and TV stations, doesn't make them any less publishers. They're still fucking publishers. Don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining. And it's the day is coming when they're going to get regulated. They should do what the comic book industry did years ago when they were afraid of being regulated by the government. The comic book companies formed the Comics Code Authority, which imposed their own set of rules, and so the government didn't feel the need to step in. The problem is social media companies already have a set of rules in their terms of service, and they don't live up to it. And you know damn well why they don't live up to it. Because in order to police hate speech correctly, they'd have to hire a shitload more people. Like a shit metric ton more people to police the complaints. So instead, they just claim that they're defending free speech when in fact, they're just defending their bottom line. Bunch of fucking liars. So I'm a bit congested today. I don't know why, maybe it's allergies. But God forbid I sneeze when I'm out in public. All of a sudden, people want to throw a hazmat suit over me or shit like that. Because, COVID. And by the way, there's people who say, COVID is a hoax. I don't know anyone who got COVID. Well, good for you. But I actually do know someone who got COVID. Somebody who's young, like in his early 30s, which is supposed to be not the group, and didn't have any underlying conditions, but he got COVID. He's a friend of mine out in Saskatoon. He got COVID, and he said it was like the worst fucking sickness of his life, because it makes it hard to breathe. You know, you get up, take two steps, and you got to sit down because you don't have the oxygen to keep going. He was sick for a good two and a half weeks, and it was miserable. So I do know somebody who got COVID, somebody who doesn't have underlying conditions, and someone who says it was fucking miserable. So, COVID is real, and people who say COVID isn't real, it's because A, they're too afraid to believe it is real. B, they want stores and shit to open so badly that, and they don't want to say that they don't care if people die. So instead they say it isn't even real at all. That way, they're not saying they're okay with people dying. That's their logic. All right, driving around now. It's the first time I've been downtown Toronto in, ages. I moved the hell out of the city because I couldn't stand it anymore. And now I'm going into the city. Traffic, one-way streets, construction. Why the hell would anybody live in this city? Living in a city is like, to me, it's like living in the cursed earth. Living in downtown of a city. It's like, I know, you're either a city person or a suburb person or an exurb person. But it's rare to have somebody comfortable outside of the area, basically where you were raised as a kid. Though the Don Valley looks very pretty this time of year. And it's not been hot enough long enough for the Don River to stink so bad. It smells like a fucking garbage dump, which is usually what happens. Once it starts to get really hot for a long period of time, the Don River, it smells worse than Ron Jeremy's boxer shorts. He, by the way, got into trouble recently, sexual improprieties. Big fucking surprise. He is a sleazeball. I've known Ron Jeremy. We shot a couple things with him, and he was so sleazy I refused to use them. And one time, we were at an event, we had a booth next to him, and he was, people were coming over to take pictures. There were women taking pictures with him, and he would pick the ones that either A, didn't have a boyfriend with him, or B, seemed to be sort of insecure. He was able to recognize who was insecure, and he would feel them up in pictures, and he would pull their boob out of their shirt, and they were so shocked and mortified and not wanting to seem like they weren't cool that they went along with it, but you could tell they were fucking freaking out. We actually moved our booth away from him, and after that, I just wouldn't even say hello to the guy. Like, just a fucking sleaze. So, big surprise. The only surprise is it took this long for people to finally nail that son of a bitch. I mean, not that he does. I mean, does he even do porn movies anymore? Jenna Jameson told me that it was disgusting working with him because he was always sweating on them. Like, yeah, that's what I want. Ron Jeremy, the hedgehog, sweating on me. I'm sure maybe there's some people out there that would pay for that. There's almost anything's out there on the, you know, check out the internet. Every fucking fetish you can imagine. But it's a journey into the heart of darkness of humanity. If you start looking up fetishes on the internet, be warned, and don't go to goatsy.cx or whatever the hell it is. Just don't look up Goatsy. Don't look up Goatsy. Okay? You'll see the event horizon of a black hole, if you know what I mean. Oh, look at that place. Monkey sushi. That just gives me images I don't want to think about. Sushi's supposed to be raw fish. What is monkey sushi? Raw monkey? Do people think of names? Do they bother thinking about what these names might conjure in somebody's head? Somebody like me? And let's face it, I'm not that far different from any of you who are listening. I'm going to make a turn here. And there's the pit that used to be the famous Honest Ed's. Honest Ed's was known far and wide. It was like Walmart before there was Walmart. It was a discount place and legendary because they had all kinds of funny, like, you know, shticky jokes in the window and stuff like that. And it was a Toronto landmark. It had a giant sign that was lit with like 1,000 light bulbs and stuff like that. It was a real culture. It was a cultural place, a cultural landmark in Toronto. So, of course, they knocked it down. They're going to put up soulless condos in a community that I hope those people don't drive because there ain't no fucking place to drive, like to have people who have cars in that community. The density isn't there. Oh, Pig Out Barbecue, with a sign of a very happy pig holding a fork. Now, is that pig going to consume himself? Is he aware that the barbecue is him? I don't understand these logos featuring the animal that is being eaten inside. Like, is this animal, like, suicidal, has a death wish, and wishes to be eaten? Or is this animal going to eat another pig using that fork? Because the pig looks really happy. Is the pig going to eat another pig? In which case, that's fucking cannibalism and sick. And, oh, this is... Check this out. It's a former movie theater, and they've kept the marquee out front. And it says, getting ready to welcome you home. There's construction going on. It says, getting ready to welcome you home. Okay, here's the thing about this movie theater marquee saying, getting ready to welcome you home. That movie theater was the famous Eve Adult Theater that ran porn movies decade after decade. Who were they welcoming home? The perverts used to come in and drop their pants and jizz all over the back of seats and on the floor? Like, maybe again, another slogan that could have taken some rethinking. I guess they're talking about how they're going to convert it into condos. I wonder if it'll be haunted. Like, haunted by guys jacking off. Like, you know, you're walking down the hall of the condo or the apartment or whatever it is. You just, instead of seeing somebody, like, walking around rattling chains or shit like that, you see somebody with his pants around his ankles whacking off. That would be interesting. But would I really want to live in a building? I mean, it's not like you're going to celebrate the heritage of that building. When, and it was a weird thing, too, because they used to, it was a porn theater, and right under the signs for the various movies they were running, the posters, there was a big sign that said, we sell car batteries. And I remember, like, what the fuck? Like, why would a porn theater be selling car batteries? Is it, like, were people, like, leaving their lights on and draining their battery while they were inside choking the chicken in such a high enough number that car batteries were required? And who was going to put the battery into your car? It didn't make any sense and still doesn't. Anyway, I'm thinking too much about it. I hate downtown Toronto. There are people you see in downtown Toronto that you don't really see anywhere else. They look like they're walking dead. They look like they're like World War I soldiers with shell shock walking the fields after a battle. A lot of them look exsanguinated. They look like they had all the blood drained out of them, as well as all the life drained out of them. You know those movies where like energy vampires suck the life out of somebody and they start to like age and wither in front of you? Yeah, this looks like an entire area of just those people. They look like they're all Harry Dean Stanton in Escape from New York, a classic film. Downtown Toronto is an armpit. And you know, the other thing I can't stand is the gentrified neighborhoods where they either A, use like old, they leave the signage up that was there when the original occupants of the store was there, you know, back in the 1930s, because it's ironic that they've got all these old, you know, look at this old sign. Even though it's not for the same business, they leave it there because it's some kind of kitsch thing, or else they've got these really overpriced, overdone, pretentious as fuck storefronts. And so downtown you have a choice. Basically, you can go into a store that's pretty much a septic tank as far as its cleanliness standards, or you can go into one of these places that are antiseptic and pretentious as fuck. That's why I don't like downtown Toronto. By the way, another thing that they can put into cars, another reason I don't like downtown Toronto, people on fucking bicycles that can't go the rate of traffic and make me slow down to get around them. Like, if you want to ride your bike, fine. Can you try to pedal a little bit? Like, they're the equivalent of Sunday drivers. Fucking hate it. Anyway, another thing they could put in a car, now this really wouldn't help for women at all, but there's a thing called a stadium pal, which is for people who go to sports events and don't want to have to get up and walk all the way to the bathroom, or anybody who is going to be sitting for a long period of time and doesn't want to have to get up and go to the bathroom. It's a thing for guys. I don't think they make them for women, because the geographic thing on the body, the anatomical stuff would be different. But it basically goes, it's like a sheath that goes over the guy's manhood, and it connects, the sheath connects to a flexible tube, which goes down to a reservoir, a bag, and it allows you to just urinate, and it goes through the tube and down. The bag is supposed to strap onto your ankle. So when you get that warm feeling on your ankle, you know you filled up. They should maybe make something like that for cars. Because how many times have you been in a car and you got to pee like crazy, and there's no place to find that you can go to pee? And even if there's a restaurant you pass, it's like there's no way to get off the road and find a parking spot, especially if you're downtown. There's no place, you can't park here for anything, thanks to that stupid Mayor David Miller a while ago. And like, you know, you really, really gotta pee. And you can't just pull over and piss on the sidewalk. So maybe having something in the car that allows for a guy to relieve himself and then just take the bag and dispose of it somewhere, maybe that would be an idea. Just a thought. All right. Hey, don't forget to check out on my YouTube channel, FU Network. I've started putting up digitized memories of Much Music. I've got hundreds of hours of my stuff on Much Music, and I have all the master tapes. So I've started putting those up, started with the very last live show that I did on Much Music, my very final episode of Ed's Big Wham Bam, which ran for 3, maybe 4 years. It was their highest rated primetime show until I'd had enough of those fuckle truckles and left. By the way, I owe that word, fuckle truckle. That's Leanna Kay's word. You should watch her on her channel, Leanna Kay. Very entertaining stuff. Everyday videos. Okay, and hey, like I said in the last show, don't fucking tell me you can't afford to give a buck or $5 a month. Like, $5 a month is, what is that? Like a buck and a quarter a week? Tell me you can't afford a buck and a quarter a week to help keep these programs going and growing. We want to build this platform out to be what Much Music once was. We want to add video. We're going to add FU Music, which is going to be music and pop culture like Much Music was, done in the Much Music style by somebody who knows how to do Much Music style, namely me. I got other VJs. I've been training other VJs. So we want to build something. But by we, I mean me and you. We're building this platform out because it's a people's platform. Not like the People's Republic of China, but a people's platform. A platform that is not run by corporate suits who do focus groups and don't lift a finger until they get some kind of data. This is a channel that's programmed by gut feeling, like they used to be programmed. Gut feeling means it's coming from a human place, as opposed to a place that's data and focus groups and corporate interest and all this other shit. So, come on, you can afford a buck and a quarter a week. You drop that without even thinking about it. A buck and a quarter a week, which is $5 a month. Go to patreon.com/FUNetworkTV and help keep me in food and shelter. But also, we need to build, we have to get our computer, our main computer has to get replaced. We have equipment that we need to buy. We have resources that we need. I'm trying to make it so that we reach at least $2,000 a month in Patreon income, which is not a lot, let's face it, when you're talking about somebody building a media conglomerate. But I'm doing it for you. I mean, for me as well, because I'm creating the kind of media I want to see and I want to listen to. But I believe it's the kind that you want to see and want to listen to also. So this is ours. This doesn't belong to the corporations. This belongs to us. Because the whole Much Music concept, that belongs to Canada. It doesn't belong to any corporation. So let's take it, let's grab it, and let's own it. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Take some ownership in your future entertainment in Canadian media. And subscribe. And if you want to just give a one-time donation, you can do that too. Go to PayPal. It's appreciated. PayPal. Send it to our email address, funetworktv@gmail.com. All right, I'm Ed the Sock. And I'm leaving downtown Toronto now. Oh, leaving downtown Toronto feels like, you know when you've had to really, really drop a number two and you finally hear it hit the water once you've sat down on the throne? That sense of relief, that's the sense of relief I get when I leave downtown Toronto. All right, like I always say, I'd rather be a smartass than a dumbass. And you should be thinking that too. I gotta really finesse that final part there. It kinda doesn't go as well. All right, see ya.
This is fun. The FU Network.